for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2008 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Monday morning, May the 26th, 2008, Dr. William Knoll is the speaker of this service, teaching on Walking in Freedom.
Have you failed in life's battle to accomplish your plan? Is your heart heavy laden? Do you fear the Lord's command? Do you feel that no one loves you? There's no need to try. Just place your cares on Jesus. Your soul He'll satisfy. Pick up the broken pieces, bring them to the Lord. Pick up the broken pieces, trust in His holy word. He will put them back together, and you'll make your life complete. Just place the broken pieces at the Savior's feet. You may feel that there's no hope, broken hearts just cannot mend. Though they're torn in many pieces, God can make them whole again. Storms of doubt blow all directions, oh, but don't you be afraid. God can make all corrections, He made a body out of clay. Pick up the broken pieces, bring them to the Lord. Pick up the broken pieces, trust in His holy word. He'll put them back together, He'll make your life complete. Just place the broken pieces at the Savior's feet. Pick up the broken pieces, give them to the Lord. Pick up the broken pieces, trust in His holy word. He'll put them back together, He'll make your life complete. Just place the broken pieces at the Savior's feet.
I wish I had a gorgeous voice like that. Linda, you're blessed. You're blessed. Well, Doc, come on. And it's a blessing. Have Doc come and get us finally delivered, I hope.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, would y'all stand with me in prayer, please? Come, Lord Jesus. Come. Come, Lord. Lord, we stand before You now, Lord. We ask for that pouring of Your Spirit of wisdom and knowledge, that the eyes of our understanding will be opened, Lord God. And we'll behold what You have for us and where You'd have us to go, Lord. What is the hope of our glory and the power that You've endued us with? Lord, touch us with Your Spirit now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Touch us with Your Spirit, Lord, of wisdom and knowledge and healing, deliverance, Lord. We thank You for what You've done, Lord, and what You're going to do. And we praise You and glorify You for who You are, Lord. The Lord of lords and the King of kings, at whose every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Don't know what Lord means? What does Lord mean? Everybody says, Jesus is my Lord. What does it mean?
Master.
It means he's your boss. That's what it means. Boss. Boss Jesus. How many of y'all make him your boss? That's the most important thing, is to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and obey. Today we're going to talk about, we've talked a lot about casting out demons. Casting out demons. Everybody would like just to roll up all them demons in just one little ball and just cast them out and be through. We don't work that way. God will give you as much deliverance as you can walk in. Just as much as you can walk in, He will give you. And when you walk that out in shoe leather, then He will give you more and more. But every journey starts with the first step. And the most important thing is to know that He loves you. That He loves you unconditionally. That He made you. And He didn't make no junk. That He made you. Now, we've all made some bad choices and bad decisions that got us in trouble. Is anybody in here that's never made a bad decision? Am I the only one that made bad decisions and bad choices and wound up in trouble? I'm the only one. Okay. Lord Jesus. I think your word says, Lord, if we say we have no sin, we are a liar and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive our sin and cleanse us from all of it. Today we're going to talk about walking in freedom. And you know, there's a scripture Jesus said in Matthew 18:7, woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come. He didn't say they might come, they should come, but He said they must come. You will be offended. Jesus said they must come. You will be offended. And I told you a couple days ago that in the Greek, the word is skangula. Now, you pardon my pronunciation. They said about me in high school that I could torment one blue word 10,000 ways. But it comes from a Greek. It's the trigger of the trap. It's the trap they put the bait on. They bent the sapling over and they put the noose on the ground and the rope that went up to the sapling came down and went on a stick and they put some bait on this stick. And you went for the bait, the stick tripped and the sapling jumped up and you were snared. And so the bait is the lure. And the desire, one of the synonyms for desire is the bait or the lure. And James said, these things arise from within you. Every man is tempted. Desire arises from within him. Let no man say that God's tempted you, because God does not tempt with evil. Now, I have transliterated that a little bit. It's not in my notes. It's in James chapter 1. I can spend an hour just talking about this and looking at all the words and seeing what they mean. But it says 1:13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He Himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And so, desires will arise within you. And we will get into how desires arise within you. Now, Acts 14:22, Paul told the churches in Galatia, when he was coming back from his first missionary journey, he went through and said, through reminding them that they must enter the kingdom of God through many tribulations. In other words, you're going to have tribulation. And that word means pressure. They used to put a thief between two big rocks and roll them together and press him and say, where'd you hide the loot? Come on, give it up. And they just keep pressing me. The poor fellow couldn't breathe, you know. The early American custom was to stake you out, spread eagle on the ground, put a big box on your chest, and keep putting rocks in it. And it finally got so heavy you couldn't breathe and you'd suffocate. And they were nice about it. They didn't do it all at once. It took 3-4 days to do this.
And all this time they'd keep coming back. Well, you ready to fess up now? Yeah, put another rock in. They didn't think about it. And eventually when he's raising, he's trying to breathe, lifting 25 or 30 pounds of rocks on his chest, he would eventually, and what's called the press. And that's what the word tribulation means. It means you're getting pressed. And then he said, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, in Timothy, will suffer persecution. And the word persecution means to be pursued, chased. And so the devil is going to put pressure on you. He's going to put bad thoughts in your mind. Or maybe the sin in your body is going to do it. Or maybe it's going to rise up out of your own soul. Or maybe he will set up a trap. You'll set up circumstances around you so that some temptation will walk past you. And you'll see it, and you'll be tempted. Then he will pressure on you, and then he'll pursue you. If you just say, no, I'm not going to do it, he will follow after you. He's a persistent fellow, and he's got lots of helpers. I don't believe anything happens by accident. I really don't. There is a host of evil spirits out there. In 1981, I was standing right over there. And Brother Glenn came by and put his hands on my head and said, I release into you the gift of discerning of spirits. And he walked on. And on my way home, I was listening to a music tape, and then I heard a prophecy came forth. And it ran through my... I said, my God, I pulled over and stopped. I said, my God, that's the voice of God. It was the Holy Spirit was speaking to someone, and discerning of spirits said, that is the Holy Spirit. That is a true prophecy. And then, it's like somebody clicked the switch. Everywhere I looked were demons. Man, there were spirits everywhere. You know, they say about this fellow, you know, he sees a demon behind every rock and every bush, you know. Well, I saw three or four. And that went on that's another story I really don't want to get into, but that went on until... You know, I was a dignified physician, you know. I'm educated, dignified, respected. I wasn't going to walk down the hospital and hear say, he believes in demons. He does! He believes in demons. You believe it, Dr. Bell, believes in demons. Well, I thought he had more sense than that. There's something wrong with him. And so I said, I wasn't going to cast out demons. Now, I had already cast out demons in the emergency room. I told you all about that. And I told you all about that child that I prayed for 3 weeks later. And wasn't anybody really laughing at me anymore. But it told me that I was going to be a deliverance minister. But this said nothing about no Lake Hammond Bible camp, you know. I came down here for 10 years and was the gopher. I went to get Glenn's coffee, and I went here, and I went yawn, and finally one day the speakers all didn't show up. Glenn said, I don't know what we're going to do. We ain't got no speakers. I mean, there wasn't nowhere. The place was packed out. And I said, well, I was doing a deliverance. I had a prayer meeting that met 3 times a week in which we taught about deliverance. I said, I got three talks I can give me. He said, your own. You're talking at 10 o'clock. It was 9:30. I said, oh, my God. And that was, but he's got a tremendous number of demons out there. And they are assigned to, some of them are assigned to you and your family. And they are working overtime to do circumstances to tempt you into sin. But they can't make you sin. They can only tempt you. They can put thoughts, they can project thoughts into your mind. We'll get into that later. They can cause things to cause bad emotions to come up in your mind. And how you respond to these things will affect your physical and mental health. Now, I'm getting away from my subject. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And so we said, you know, how do you handle an offense? How do you respond to it? No. The devil has measured you. He knows your weaknesses. And 2 Corinthians 10:13, Paul says, we will not boast of things without measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God has distributed, a measure to reach even unto you. What he's speaking of is the devil has measured you. God has measured you. He knows your strength. Well, the devil has done it too. And he's got them recorded. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your strengths. He's not going to hit your strong points. He's going to blindside you. How do you respond to such a thing? Well, there's some things you flee from. The Bible says flee idolatry. And the other says flee fornication. And the word for fornication there is porneo, which covers all types of sexual sin. And I told y'all the story about the home-cooked meal. Did I tell y'all about the home-cooked meal? Now, most of the folks who have been here have heard the home-cooked meal story. But and for those who haven't, I'll tell you about the home-cooked meal. I've been separated from my wife for 30 years now, almost. And I've been separated about 5 years, I think, and I was teaching in my Bible study. And I commented, I didn't own any dishes. I didn't even own any dishes. I didn't own any silverware. When the first grandchild was born, at 4 o'clock in the morning, I had to knock on the neighbor's door and borrow a saucepan to heat the bottle in. And so I ate 3 meals a day at the hospital. Good food. Dietitian was a good friend of mine, and she took good care of me. But they served just really good food. And I ate there, and I could eat there for less than $5 a day. And that appealed to my Scotch blood. And so I told her that I hadn't, and she said, this young lady who had joined the prayer group, and she said, hey, you haven't had a home-cooked meal in 5 years, Dr. Thomas? I said, no. I said, I'm too busy. I don't have time. But she said, well, if I cooked a home meal and invited you, would you come? I said, sure. And so the day for the home-cooked meal arrived, and I knocked on the door, and she opened the door. I didn't know that woman was that good-looking. Man, she had on a dress looked like it was put on with a spray gun. I said, I didn't hear her two little kids anywhere, you know. And the lights were sort of low, and they had this mood music on. And I went in, it was candlelight, and there was a table back there, and I could see the champagne bucket beside it. And I said, oh, Billy, you done got yourself into a mess here. And I got strangled on some mucus, and I went down on one knee coughing real bad. She said, God, this is getting me some water to drink. She went to the kitchen, and I ran out and got in my car and fled. You know, I didn't trust old Billy. That's what the Bible says. It says, and the word flee means to run away. If you look it up in the Greek, it means to run away. And so if you get offended that way for idolatry or somebody wants you to join something that's not Christian, you just say no and you just sort of walk away from it. You flee from it. Somebody tempts you with something and flee. Just flee. Get up and go home. I tell all the young girls when I was practicing I told all the young boys and young girls, actually. I told them all. I encouraged them to go to the community college for the first 2 years, particularly if they didn't come from wealthy families, because they could live at home. The tuition was not bad. They could keep their job at McDonald's, and they could go to school, and they could work. And I said, and besides, honey, you can live at home, parents pay the bills, and you got a deadline. They want you to go out some beer party, you say, I'm sorry. I got a deadline. I got to be home at a certain time. I got to face my mama. I said, you got a perfect excuse. You don't have to go. You can't get pressured into it. I told boys the same thing. I said, you know, you're going to have to explain to your mama why you're coming in at 4 o'clock in the morning. Or I didn't come home last night. So I said, you need to. I said, we'll protect you from undue pressure. When you get to be 20 years old, you're older, you're more mature, you're more experienced. And particularly for Christian boys who've been in Christian school, I said there's a lot of pressure out there. It'll protect you from pressure till you become more mature, and you have had a chance to see it. I know that we had a Christian scout troop, and they went to Philmont, and they complained because there were co-ed troops up there. And there were a lot of things happening that these Christian fathers didn't approve of. And I said, well, that's the world, friend. Be grateful that you were there to help your child walk through it. Because they're going to get exposed to that. You better be exposed in a Christian context with Christian support. Because it's going to happen. You can't lock them up in a barn. They got to go out and face the world. Got to live in the world. Well, we're getting away. I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry. I'm just getting away. You're getting to... I ain't teaching anymore. I'm preaching now. Okay, but the devil knows your measure. He's measured you. He knows your weaknesses. And so how do you respond to an offense? First, if it's a, if it's idolatry or sexual immorality, you run. Run home to mama. I used to flee to the preacher's wife. She protected me. Erie was very good to me. When I got undue pressure in the church, some woman decided that God had picked me out as her future husband. And come on real strong, man. I would flee to Erie.
Erie, I need some help.
And I'd leave and I'd let Erie talk to this woman. Get off of Doc's back. He ain't going to marry you. They all thought I was rich, you know. They all thought I was a rich doctor. They didn't know I gave everything away and lived on $10,000 a month. A year, I'm sorry. I lived on $10,000 a year. And I gave everything else away. But my cars were paid for. My house was, you know, I had a place that I lived that they finished my apartment and I could eat there too. I was a military school physician and so they gave me an apartment and I could eat down in the dining hall if I wanted to. And I had a free apartment and so forth. Well, it wasn't free. I had to pay taxes. I had to pay taxes on it. You know, you had to report it as income. You had to report a fair rent as income and pay income tax on it. But my accountant took care of all that. But God told me that I would live on it. I lived on that till I came down here. These people didn't know that because it wasn't any of their business. But they all thought I was a rich doctor. People say, what are you doing with your money? People come up and say, Doc, isn't that mattress getting a little lumpy? I said, what you mean? Well, you're sticking all your money under the mattress. It didn't get a little lumpy at all. I said, no, it's okay. I get a good night's sleep. Praise the Lord. So you come, but if you're insulted, your pride's wounded, or you're threatened, you feel fearful, and you react in love. You stop. And you repent at that time, and you ask God for His help. You say, God, you didn't give me a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and a sound mind. And I depend on you. Hebrews says that you will... How does Hebrews say it? I like the NIV translation better. It says, let us... No. I don't see it in here. Where is it? But it says, we do not shrink back. And that is the correct translation. Shrink back. It's in the NIV. And the... Because it's fear. You shrink back in fear. But you come boldly to the throne of grace and say, God, help me. God, I'm going to react in faith, and you're going to help me, Lord God, for grace. And you stop and sit down and pray. You know God's faithful. First time I did a mass deliverance service, I went out that same day and got all these lists of demons. Man, I had a list of demons this thick I was going to read out during this mass deliverance service. And I read the first deliverance. I read the first demon, and the anointing just went whoosh. And I never felt so absolutely naked in all my life. I said, Lord, where are you? Where are you? I said, you people just pardon me a minute. I sat down behind the podium on the floor. I said, Lord, I ain't getting up. I'm not going to get up if I have to get up alone like this. I'm not going to stand up there naked like this. I mean, I can't do anything without you. And he said to me, he said, have you needed, when you pray deliverance for people, do you need a list? You read a list over them? I said, no, Lord, I'll let you leave me. He said, what's wrong with me leaving you now? I got up, man, and I shut my notebook, and I said, all right, Lord, let's go. And I used to do that when I first started. I used to take a history like a doctor. I'd sit down and take a total family history, and you can figure out what kind of demons folks got. Just taking a medical history. And I would take a yellow pad and take a medical history, and then I would make a list of their demons, and I'd call them out. But when you... It's all right if you got a couple hours to work with somebody. I don't have a couple hours most of the time. When I have a couple hours, I do love to sit down and talk to people. And so, you react in love. If you feel threatened, fearful, angry, pride's wounded, you sit down. Remember that a soft answer turneth away wrath. Harsh words, or grievous words, stir up anger. That's Proverbs 15:1. And so you sit down and talk. And if you get angry, you don't let the sun go down on your anger. Because if you do, you give place to the devil. Now, give place to the devil means that you got the couch here, and you move it over and say, come on, sit right here. Or you got the chairs around the table, and you move the chair, bring up another one, and there's your seat right there. That's what it means. And when the sun goes down, there's a new day in Hebrew. God says, settle your anger before the sun goes down. Particularly if you're married. Don't ever go to bed mad, folks.
You're just propping the door open for the devil to come in. That's all you're doing, propping the door open for the devil to come in. We'll talk about some of the physiological responses, what happens when you go to bed with anger. But the enemy comes but to kill, steal, and destroy. And he will come in when you go to bed angry. You need to settle it.
But it ain't my fault.
Don't make any difference. When a man took my books we talked about, took my favorite book, God said, give him the rest of them. He showed me the scripture, said, if he takes your coat, give him your cloak too. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And all doesn't really matter because God's going to judge it. You and I aren't going to judge it. If you judge it, that judgment's going to come back on you. If you condemn it, we read that scripture in Matthew yesterday, Matthew 7:1. And if you judge somebody, that judgment comes back on you by the same measure that you poured it out. And you say, well, ain't my fault. Well, so what? You're not going to judge it. That's up to God. It's a funny thing about perception. I can say something to you, and I can mean it one way, and you can take it another. And I can talk till I'm blue in the face, and you still won't understand what I said. You've all seen the signs that I know you heard what I said, but I'm not certain you know what I mean. And when that happens, you apologize. Say, I'm terribly sorry. I didn't mean that. Please forgive me. And you move on. And give it to them. And give it to God and to them. Say, just forgive me. I'm sorry, please. And one lady who used to help me at the camp, it was at a 4th of July meeting, and we had a young youth pastor, and we had about three or four rebellious teenagers he was dealing with. And somebody put those kids in the car and took them to the firework display. They had some fireworks down there, and Glenn had said he didn't want anyone leaving the campground to go to the fireworks display for various reasons. And so this lady told Brother Glenn, I put those kids in my car and took them. And she confessed that to me about 6 months later. I said, gosh, I said, I'd never do such a thing. She said, you didn't? No, of course I wouldn't do anything like that. Brother Glenn said, don't do it as long as I'm under his authority. I'm not going to rebel against him, open myself to the devil. I said, no. So I agree with him on it. I said, I do. Well, I told him, I forgive you. It's okay. I forgive you. Well, what am I going to do about it? I said, you're going to accept my forgiveness and we're going to forget about it. It's okay. Well, what about Glenn? If Glenn knows I didn't do it. And this lady, and she came back three times to me. Are you sure it's all right? You sure you forgive me? I said, yeah, I forgive you. But she'd repeated some gossip. I don't know where she got it. I didn't ask her. Now, if you react and sin snares you, first you have to realize you've been snared. And then you deliver yourself. Now, Proverbs 6:5 says, deliver yourself like a gazelle out of the hand of the hunter. If you responded in fear or pride, you pray every night. Every night when you go to bed, you spend 20 minutes evaluating your day. Most folks will go to a doctor's office and sit in there for three hours waiting on a doctor, pay him $100, and go down to the pharmacy and buy another $100 worth of medicine. But they won't spend 20 minutes at night looking at their day and with God and say, God, show me. Now, if I responded in fear or pride today, have I allowed myself to be offended and hurt in some way? Have I accepted this and allowed it to come into me and allowed fear to rise up in me or pride to rise up in me, and I have pushed it down and moved on, and I have buried that thing without taking care of it? People, if you have a toxic reaction to fear, and you don't deal with it, you just push it down and just move on, I'm not going to do that, and you don't handle it, you bury it alive. That thing's still alive. You bury it. It's still alive. It's down there. You buried something. It's not dead. And it continues to stimulate your brain and cause damage, which we'll go into later. But And so you need to spend some time every night when you go to bed saying, God, have I offended anybody? Have I allowed myself to fall into sin in any way? Help me, Lord. And just spend some time praying. Read the word out loud so the devil can hear it. And you can hear it. Remember that when you read the word out loud, the devil can hear it. He can't read your mind. Remember we talked the other day about only God knows a human heart? The devil can't read your mind.
But he can heal you when you read the word. And you can hear it. And faith comes by hearing the word of God. And so you read it. You should try to read through the Bible every year. That's 3.5 chapters. It takes you about 20 minutes at night, or 15 minutes, to sit down and read 3.5 chapters. I try to do more than that, personally. But I would recommend you try at least 3.5 chapters. And have an appointed time that you do it, when you sit down to go to bed at night. Some people do it better when they get up in the morning. It should be a regular time, just like brushing your teeth, eating breakfast. If you have to choose between eating breakfast and the Word of God, choose the Word of God. It'll sure keep you slender. And then you pray and you settle it. Now, once you realize, God shows you that you realize you come under conviction that you have something that you need to get rid of. The verse in Hebrews is 10:38-39 in the NIV. But my righteous one will live by faith. If he shrinks back, draws back in fear, I will not be pleased with him. But we are those not who shrink back, draw back in fear, and are destroyed, but those who believe and are saved. And that's the NIV translation, which Derek Prince says is the correct Greek pronunciation. Realize that we are in fear about the enemy. Look at 2 Chronicles 7:14. You all open your Bibles to that, please. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. How many of you want your land healed? Now remember that this is a piece of dirt you're living in. That's your land. Right here. That's your land. The first piece of land you got is this dust you're living in. And God says he will heal it. Now, and so you humble yourself. Well, how do you humble yourself? You deny yourself something. You deny your flesh. That's one way of doing it. You know, I'm not going to sit here and read all these scriptures I've got up here about pride. But pride flows out of the heart, the innermost seat of the beings, the seat of the emotions, the soul, hence the flesh. Mark 12:21-22 says, from out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts and other things, pride, and then pride. Pride proceeds out of the heart. It's an emotion. It's a spirit. It's called a haughty spirit. The first step is to deny yourself. One way of denying yourself is fasting. There are lots of different ways to fast. Daniel just ate vegetables. He didn't eat any meat. He said he didn't eat any pleasant bread. I always interpret that as wheat and sugar. A lot of people say it's okay to eat wheat or cereal grains, but no sugar. And you eat vegetables. That's a so-called Daniel's fast. The other one is don't eat anything but drink water. You pray and God will show you what to do. But once you tell your stomach, line up with the Word of God. You're going to do without breakfast today. Or you're going to do without breakfast and lunch. We're not going to eat till supper. Now, your stomach will complain, and he will give you symptoms, and he will do all sorts of things. And the man, he'll make you shake, and make your head pound, and you say, oh, I got the hypoglycemia, and I got this, and I got that. They'll put all these thoughts in your mind. But you stand against the God of the belly, stomach. Make him go hungry, God. Now, where in the world in the Bible does it say God had folks go hungry to hunger? Let's open your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. So he humbled you and allowed you to hunger and fed you manna, which you did not know nor your fathers know. I mean, they got so hungry they were going to stone Moses. And we out here in the middle of the desert. And we ain't got nothing to eat. Moses got out of here and said, Lord, they're about to stone me. He said, in the morning when you get up, then he gave them manna. And manna is a Hebrew word, means what is it? And the Bible said it was angel's food. And they ate it for 40 years. And they complained about it. Man, they ground it up and they baked it. They made They made manna cakes and manna bread and manna stew and manna everything, boy. They complained about manna because it tastes like coriander seed and honey. But they didn't like it. And you know the thing about it is, there wasn't a sick one in the bunch. And they walked for 40 years and their shoes didn't wear out and their clothes didn't wear out and none of them ever got sick while they ate the manna. But we won't go into that, but you can... Another way of humbling yourself is to serve others. Take the lowest job. Pastor needs somebody to set up the chairs at the church at 8 o'clock in the morning. Get over there and set them up for him. They're having a car wash to raise money for the single ladies in the church. Single mothers. You know, single mothers need a lot of help. Children are expensive. And it takes a lot of help. And most churches don't take care of their single mothers. They make them feel like a beggar. They come in once to their love fund, and then they give it to them. They'll help them three times a year and make them feel like a beggar. And they need help with their cars. They need help with their babysitters. And sometimes they need help with their rent. And I won't go into what happens to them. But they have to find somebody to help them pay their bills, and so they prostitute themselves. And that is shameful. I won't get onto that. But you can help by serving others. Jesus did that. He made himself a servant and washed his apostles' feet. Paul says in Philippians, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but with lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out, not only for his own interest, but the interest of others. Let this mind be within you that was in Christ Jesus. The next step, we said, if my people, and he says, will pray, supplication, by prayer and supplication. Next step is to pray. Remember, you know, I talked to, for those who came to the first prayer meeting, we talked about the high priest on the Day of Atonement, that he had to offer a sacrifice for his own sin before he could go offer a sacrifice for the sins of the people. And so when you want to go in and you want to get God's, you first thing you do, you say, Lord, is anything standing between us? Have I done, Lord, show me if I have any sin, Lord. If there's any sin in me. And the Bible says that we say we have none, we're a liar. He said, Lord, help me. And so you come before God and repent of your sin. Confess your sin and offenses. And forgive people who've hurt you. Give anyone. It says in Mark 11:25, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. That your Father in heaven will also forgive your trespasses. You want God to hear you, you forgive. That's the first step. And after we confess the sin, and we forgive others, you know, we forgive everybody that's ever hurt us. And we ask God to bless them. And we make atonement if we've wronged other people. If you've done something that's wronged someone, if at all possible, you make atonement for it. You try to make it right. Now, sometimes folks won't let you make it right. They seem like they love to hold on to things. They're going to get even with you. They're going to make you pay. You know, I had one on the Mayor's Select Committee for the Dog Ordinance once. You know, man, I tell you now, boys are funny. Folks are funny about their dogs. I was chief dog catcher. I was a public health officer. And we met twice a week for a long time, 3-4 months. And we all agreed, though, that we were going to present one report. The majority report, be no minority report. And the veterinarian stuck those people in to saying that we ought to vaccinate dogs every year. Well, the thing's licensed for 3 years. Now, I didn't see why, but the veterinarians thought it was good policy to have the dogs checked once a year to make sure they got good all these other shots and so forth. And anyway, they talked people into it. I stood against it. But I was bound to support the majority report. Boy, there was a man on the city commission. Woo! Man, he I had to hold the phone out to him. And that night, you know, God convicted me that he was right. So I went to him and told him, apologize to him. And I said, you know, I was bound by my word. That was what we said, but you were right. He looked at me with a sneer and said, well, at least you can recognize that you were wrong. Man, I heard sneers about that from him. He got sick and had a heart attack. They thought he was going to die, went to the hospital, laid hands on him and prayed for him, and God healed him. And then he got arthritis in his hands and had those replaced, and his knees replaced, and his hips replaced. He had a stroke. God healed his stroke. And I was sitting there after God healed his stroke and talking to him. And all this is over a 20-year period now. And somehow that doggone came up. I didn't bring it up. And he looked at me. I mean, he looked like a veil came down. He says, I hadn't gotten you for that yet, but I'm going to get you yet. I walked outside and I said, God, what can I do? I've done everything. And sometimes it comes to the point that you've done everything. And this other party won't let it go. Then you give that to God. Just give it to God. Say, whatever, their problem, Lord. I give it to you. I want you to bless them. Just bless them, Lord. Bless them in the name of Jesus. You know, if you say, tell the kid killing God to bless them, when they curse you, their curses will come back on themselves and won't touch you. That's what you do with witches. You bless a witch. Just bless her. Have the Lord Jesus Christ bless the witch. I mean, if you want to really terrify a real professional witch that's cursing you, just say, may the Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you. May the Lord Jesus Christ just bless you. I reject all your curses. And may the Lord Jesus Christ just bless you. You want to terrify her, she'll get up on up. Because those curses are going to come back on her. And those demons hate her. You know, whenever you speak a curse, a demon goes out to bring its fulfillment. Y'all know that. You know where it says that in the Bible. It says it in the Bible. It says it in Judges chapter 9. God dispensed a spirit of ill will between the men of Shechem and Abimelech. And it goes on about 40 verses. And then it says, and thus was fulfilled the curse spoken by Joram. Thus came the fulfillment. I've forgotten how it says it, but it says the evil spirit brought it to pass. Okay. And so, but they won't touch you as long as you bless them. They will, and they will take that sin, that curse, and they'll send their divinating spirit to look for sin in your life, and they will shape that curse to fit your sin. And you go, so Lord, if I got sin in my life, God, forgive me, Lord. I don't want that curse on me. I don't want it on me, Lord. And just bless that witch, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Be merciful and gracious to her. I will not judge her. Now that demon hates that witch too, just like it hates you. Because that witch is in the image of God. You know, the devil treats his people real bad. I told y'all that I had, well, never mind. I just tell you the devil treats his people really bad. The ones that I've known have all had cancer, been in the insane asylum, and lots of other things. Very unpleasant things that they've done, the devil's made them do. And they're his folks, folks who serve him. And so you make atonement for rights to others as best you can. This is a lifestyle. It's not a 15-minute prayer. You keep praying for people all the time, and God will set you free. And you bind that thing, and you cast it out. You bind that sin. Now, we're talking about how you get rid of that offense. Then you bind it in the name of Jesus, and you cast it out. And it says in Joel 2:32, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Tell the demon that. He don't want to hear it. He knows it. But he has to leave. When you quote the scripture, he has to leave. Now, the Hebrew and Greek word for a spirit is either wind, air, or breath. It can be translated all of those. Spirits come in as air, come out as air from the breathing passage or intestinal practice, a yawn, cough, a sigh, a belch, a passing gas. But the spirits leave generally that way. They can go anywhere they want to. You know, a spirit can go through that wall. That wall is 99% space. And a spirit can just move through it, not affected by that wall. Your resurrection body will not be affected by that wall. Jesus walked through walls. He said you have a body like an angel. An angel can come through that wall. You want to know you got your resurrection body? Walk through that wall. Just walk into it. He said, I have my resurrection body. Walk through that wall. That wall's solid to you because you got a solid, because you got the same kind of body that wall is, made out of atoms. The only thing that holds you together is the Word of God. Hebrews says he sustains all things by the power of his word. Einstein said the great mystery of the universe is what holds the nucleus of the atom together. Because it's all positive charges crammed in there together. And like charges repel and unlike attract. So there's some kind of force that holds all those protons in that nucleus of that atom together. They all have a positive charge. There's some neutrons in there which have both that have a that do not have a charge on them. They have a positive and a negative charge embedded in them, so they're neutral. But all those positive charges held together, and they're held together by the Word of God. And if God said the Word, it'd be a bunch of hydrogen gas, one proton and an electron going around it. And someday, there'll be a new earth, a new heaven. Old earth and old heaven will pass away. You know what won't pass away? Hades. That's where the devil and all his friends have just been gone. And then we get a new heaven and a new earth. But the devil is still down there in that fire forever and ever and ever. That's in Revelation. Very clearly stated. In the lake of fire. There comes a time that there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Okay. Deliverance is a lifestyle. Wayne Worley said, deliverance is not an event in your life, but it's a lifestyle. You don't get complete freedom in one session. Lots of times some people get more freedom than others. But you take what God's given you and you walk with it. You walk in love. You don't pick up offenses. You repent of your sin and let God drive them out little by little. Exodus 23 says, I will send the hornets before you. 23:28-30. I will send the hornets before you, and they shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, the Hittite. And I will not drive them out before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field become too numerous. Little by little I will drive them out before you till you've increased and inherit the land. Deuteronomy 7:23-24 says, and the Lord will drive out those nations before you little by little. You will be unable to destroy them all at once, lest the beasts of the field become numerous. But the Lord will deliver them over to you and inflict defeat upon them. It also praying, and it makes all kind of wonderful promises. It says you're going to be blessed, and you're going to be blessed. You're going to have a good family life. You're going to have wellness. He's going to take sickness away. Nobody's going to miscarry their baby. Your business is going to prosper. Your family's going to prosper. And you're going to be the head and not the tail. You're going to be above and not beneath. You'll lend to many, and you won't have to borrow from anybody. That's the promise God gives to those people who obey His Word. So, the Word of God heals you. Now, the eight steps for walking freedom. One is walk in love. Always respond in love to offenses and tribulations. Two is control your thought life. You know, the mind is the battlefield. And it's the most important thing you can do is to control the thoughts. Watchman Nee said, thoughts were like birds flying in the air, bad thoughts. He said, you know, you can't stop them from flying over your head, but you don't have to let them make a nest in your hair. Now, what are the sources of thoughts? Now, remember that thoughts stimulate emotion, and emotion stimulates responses in your brain. And you have good responses and bad responses. Okay? The first place you decided to bring it up, you decided you won't talk about it. Think about it. You're going to study your algebra lesson. You decide to do it, and you begin thinking about algebra. Or you've got a problem at the office. You're thinking, and you sit down, and you begin to think of how you're going to handle it. You decide to do that. Okay. The second one, it's in response to the Holy Spirit speaking to you through the intuition of your spirit. A thought will rise up in your mind because the Holy Spirit wants you to deal with it. Particularly bad thoughts. Somebody's hurt you. You made a bad choice. Something that... And you ever have a sense of, well, I should have did? If only I'd done? You ever anybody been mean? Hell, if only, Spirit? Yeah, if only. What I should have said? Boy, that I got him if I'd have said that. And then you rehearse what you should have said over and over again. And you settle it. You know, you sit there and you build a fantasy about it. It's called a vain imagination. You say, well, did the Holy Spirit bring that up? Yeah, He wants you to deal with it. He wants you to deal with that bad offense. And we'll talk about that later. The other thing is that sometimes if something will come up, and you say, no, Holy Spirit didn't bring that up. He wouldn't want me to do that. And so you say, where'd that thought that came from that you didn't decide to initiate and the Holy Spirit didn't bring? Where'd it come from? Well, there are several things. It arose spontaneously out of your soul. Your soul wants to be the boss. It's called the flesh of the soul, and it wants to run things, and you have to deny it and let the Holy Spirit run your life. It can be your flesh,
your soul.
Or it can arise from sin that lives in your body. You know, sin came in when Adam and Eve fell. Sin, and through sin, death entered them. And sin is still there. Now, I can talk about the derivation of the word sin, and a lot of people think it's a demon. It comes from a Acacian word, which means demon, Rasmussus. And y'all all seen the gargoyles on the side of the Masonic temple? Well, that's an Assyrian Rasmussus. It's a demon that guards the building. But if it was a demon, you should be able to cast it out. Norman Parrish said if it was a demon, you should be able to cast it out. And you can't cast sin out of somebody. You learn to deny it. You learn to deny it. Now you read Romans 7, and sin is personified as a demon. Paul personifies sin as a demon in Romans 7. He says, not I who do it, but I do what I will not to do, but I do it is not I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. He says in Romans 6, do not let sin reign, that's rule your mortal body. And sin will bring up all kind of sinful thoughts and try to push you into all kind of ungodly actions, like greed, covetousness, sarcasm, pride, and a lot of other things. You see, the thought of desire rose from a familiar spirit. That's one of your family spirits that's following you around. And they can project thoughts into your mind. The devil having placed into the mind of Judas Iscariot to betray Jesus and John. Y'all ever read that one? A demon projected it into Judas. And so, he said, no, I'm not going to do that. I bind you, you foul spirit. I command you to be gone. And the last one is a demon that could be dwelling within you, in your flesh. Can't be in your spirit, but shall be in your flesh, in your physical body. And you need to bind it and cast it out. Now, after you have come against this thing and said no, come against the thought that the demon out there has raised and pushed in your mind, said, no, I'm not going to do that. Or sin has brought up, or flesh has brought up this idea. And you say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to steal that money. You see it sitting over there, you know, nobody's watching. And $100 bill there. He's just lying there. And you say, I'm not going to do that. You pick it up off the floor and say, somebody lose this. It's not mine. And that thought will come in, you might stick it in your pocket. Nobody's seen it. Find his keepers. You read the Bible, he'll tell you that you put it down. The law says if you find something like it, you take it down to the police station and turn it in. Nobody claims it. 90 days is yours. I did that once. In 90 days, the chief of police brought it up to school and gave it to me. I found a $5 bill almost in the street. And I called, and Chief Davis was about a half block down, and I went down and gave it to him. He said, I found this in the street. It's not mine. Thank you, Billy. Anybody comes looking for it, we'll give it to them. 90 days later, he came out to school and gave me that $5 bill. Everybody told me I was stupid. Praise the Lord. Now, if the thought of desire is persistent after your decision to refuse continues with a logical reason why you should submit, begins to cause physical symptoms or certain subacute autonomic reactions. Now, there's a whole list of subacute autonomic reactions down there in my book that I got out of Burke Manual of what fear, how the actual symptoms that fear can cause in your body, like the shaking hands, the sweaty palms, the butterflies in the stomach, pounding head, all those things. And you start getting that, then you know you got a demon working on you. And you bind him. And you cry out to God. You're not going to go over there. You're not going to pick up that $100 bill and take it home, or $50 bill. You're going to turn it in. Because that's what the Word of God says. Whether you get it back or not, that's up to God. I want to talk about toxic thoughts now. You know, I told you that if you have a bad emotional reaction, now remember that emotions come from the thoughts within you that are stimulated by your senses. You have a sense of impending danger. You see a car coming down your side of the road. You're driving down the road and you look up there and you see some nut driving down on your side of the road at you. You get scared. And, you know, you pull off the side of the road into the ditch and let him go by. You go. Or, I mean, that is a... You get all kind of things
that can cause you to have a fearful reaction. Some of them are real. Some of them are perceived. Particularly if someone is talking to you and they get right up in your face and yell and scream, that can be fearful. They are trying to force you. They have a witchcraft spirit and they are trying to prevail over you. First they start by trying to talk you into it. Then they become argumentative. And then they become loud and threatening. And then they become violent. That's witchcraft. I had a teenage child that did that. And then he would threaten to destroy things in the house if he didn't get his way. God bless him. Bless him, Lord. He's walking with Jesus now. It took 30 years. 2 jail terms. He got put out with me the last time because I wouldn't pay back the money he stole from the bank. He talked some little girl into writing cashier's checks to him for a large sum of money. And then when the money turned up short, he disappeared with the money and left the girl. She went to jail. They found him 5 years later in Alaska. And the bonding company told him if he'd pay back the money, they wouldn't prosecute. I wouldn't pay it back. Told him I'd bought him out of jail my last time. But you know, he met the Lord Jesus Christ. He's walking. He has not been in jail since, and that's been 25 years ago. Married, got a good job, got bonded. Somebody had 2 jail terms get bonded. That's the grace of God. And he's paying his bills and raising his kids. I don't know how I got into that. But, and so something happens and you get a toxic reaction. You get threatened. You feel threatened. You feel scared. Or your pride is wounded. And you get angry, bitter. And this comes up and you just push it down, and you push it down. And you continue to. Well, what happens is that fear will cause the hypothalamus to secrete a hormone, chemical hormone, that stimulates the pituitary gland, which releases a hormone, the fear hormone, ACTH, which goes to the kidney and to the adrenal and secretes cortisol and adrenaline, and later dopamine, and you get a response. Your heart rate goes up, your blood pressure goes up, lots of chemical reactions occur, and you get a fight, and you can get a high from it. If you inject cocaine, you get a massive release of dopamine, which is a tremendous high. There are certain physical things that you can do to get a tremendous. Well, they get this, and if you don't handle that within 72 hours, it's going to be pushed down into your, out of your hypothalamus, out through your hippocampus, and out in to your limbus. And that thing is submerged, but you no longer really have any conscience of it. You go on. You lose the memory of it. But you buried something that's alive. And it keeps stimulating the ACTH. It keeps stimulating the adrenaline and the cortisol. And the cortisol makes the dendrites, which are the memory where the memory is stored, begin to shrink. And the adrenaline shrinks the blood vessels away from it, and you get what is called a black hole. Like back on that bondage spirit, God gave me that division 15 years ago. In the last 5 years, they've been able to demonstrate black holes in the brain on imaging, where these dendrites have shrunk, and you keep stimulating them, they'll die. You got a dead hole there. You got a piece of dead brain, and you'll get a demon in it. And you need, and so the Holy Spirit wants you to be whole. He wants you to be well. He wants you. And so He will bring up that memory. You'll be driving along in your car and you'll suddenly remember that thing, that offense that you have buried. It's not dead, but you buried it. And it's destroying your brain. It's destroying your memory. And you've got And you can get an unclean spirit in there that controls part of it.
And you say, God wants you to get rid of that. So He brings that up to your memory. Toxic thought. What do you do with it?
You say, oh, Jesus, I forgive that person. Lord, you help me with this. I don't want this thing in me. I want this thing to be mined up and brought out and for you to do whatever you want to with it, but you get it away from me. I forgive, Lord. John doesn't owe me a thing for doing that to me. I forgive him. I forgive the debt. I want you to bless John. I want you to take care of him. I want you to heal my brain. Get that thing out of me. I don't want that thought in me. Or some failure you had where you should have done something else and you usually respond, if I'd only done this, if I'd only said that. Don't respond with if only. You say, oh Lord. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord God. Lord, bless this person. Bless this person. Touch them and bless them. I forgive them, Lord. I don't want to see them pay for it. I want them to prosper. I want you to prosper them. Don't punish them for it, Lord. Don't make them pay. I forgive them. And you pray in tongues and say, oh, God, help me. Heal me, Lord. Heal my land up here. And you know God will heal you. He says, if you will turn from your wicked ways, refusing to forgive, and pray, then I will hear from heaven and heal your land. If my people will repent, that means to turn, and turn from their wicked ways, and pray, I will hear from heaven and heal their land. And He will heal it. And I tell you, when you get these bad thoughts that keep coming back, you bind the demon, and you don't stop, and you keep pushing it out, and you forgive. Lots of us have had abuse in childhood. But folks dead and gone. They're gone. They're gone on to heaven, though, to their reward. And yet that memory, that emotion still lives in you. And you say, Lord, bless the family. Don't make the family pay for this sin that's come down through the family line. Release them from the curse, Lord. I don't want to see anybody pay for this. I paid enough, Lord. I have paid for it, Lord. I don't want to see anybody else pay like I did. I forgive them. I remit the debt. Bless them. They're gone. Bless the family. And heal me, Lord God. You foul spirit of incest, I bind you and I break the curse and I command you to leave my mind now in the name of Jesus Christ. Or whatever offense it was in your childhood, and you turn it loose. And if that toxic thought comes back again, you do the same thing. You be the persistent widow and drive that unjust thing out of your mind through your prayers and heal your land. That's why I say it is so important, because all of you are plagued by bad thoughts. All of you are plagued by your past hurts, offenses, and failures, things that we wish we'd done differently. We can't change the past. Well, we don't have to let it keep us in bondage forever. Jesus Christ can heal it. He can heal the hurts. He can heal your brain and get rid of those black holes. You need to bind that bondage too, that spirit of bondage. I will not be in bondage and enslaved by this thing. And how do you do that? You see how it's got all those tentacles reaching out? It's like a telephone exchange. You attack it. You attack this one down here. You attack gluttony over here, it'll pull in these all his strength from all these other demons to help gluttony out. Help keep gluttony there. And so you say, I bind you, I isolate you from all other spirits. You can draw no power or authority from any other spirit. You can communicate with no other spirit. I isolate you in the name of Jesus. And that is your authority. That is your authority in the Word of God. Now, bondage, I bind you. I bind gluttony and tell him to come out. And pornography, vanity, greed, whatever else you're having problems with. Whatever else God shows you is there. Because you're depending upon the Holy Spirit to bring it up to you. And you just keep working. And God will drive them out one at a time. And how do they come out? You cast them out. The word embalo means, it says in Mark 16 that you will cast out demons, and the Greek word is embalo. And it a better
A better translation is expel. It means believers will expel demons. And they like to think that casting them out of the brother over there and taking a gun and shooting at him up by the forest and he and Ashley's one stop up there, you know, shooting at him with a cannon and something, you don't want to get close to him. But believers will expel demons. And you have that authority. You can bind them. It says, whatever you bind on this earth will have been bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on this earth will be loosed in heaven. That occurs twice. Once for you as your personal authority and once for the church. I cover that in the appendix of the book. Now, there's 10 pages in the back of the book. There's 10 pages in the back of the book on family history. And you can take those out and you can duplicate those. You can run those through photocopy machines and you can fill them out. Don't fill out the one in the book. Make copies of them. Give them to your friends, anybody that you're working with. And you ask them to fill them out honestly. You know, I took a psychological test once and they had 4 questions on there. And the first thing said, how did you answer question 1, 10, 15, and 20? And he said, if you answered yes to one of them, you ain't been too honest. You asked him, you answered yes to 2 of them and said, man, just throw a test away. You ain't been honest at all. And so I went back to see what the question. The first question was that I have never taken anything that didn't belong to me. How many of y'all can say yes to that? I have never taken anything that didn't belong to me. I thought about it when I read it, you know, and I said, now, Lord, I've always been honest. I've never, you know, my parents encouraged me. Never. Then I remember I shoplifted a pencil once. And then he brought all kinds of things. Paper clips, pencils, all sorts of little things. Little things. No matter what's big or little, if it didn't belong to you. The second one said, I am always truthful. The third one said, I have never cheated at solitaire. And I forget the 4th one. I had answered no to all of them, though. And so you have to be honest when you fill it out. And it will give you all kind of hints of the things you should pray for and bind and cast out in the name of Jesus. Well, I think it's time to quit. I can talk for another 30 minutes, but I don't think we should. You know, you need to read the Bible every day. You need to have a routine of fasting. You need to be involved in a good church, one that believes in the Bible. Might not believe in deliverance, but they believe in the Bible. Believe the Bible is the Word of God. They don't believe, they sort of push parts of it away. But I went to a church where they would read the Bible and they would leave verses out, particularly ones about sexual sin, certain parts of sexual sin. They act like they weren't there. And of course, they married same-sex people, too. I didn't stay in that one. And you need to pay your tithe. You pay your tithe, well, you go to church. Pay your tithe. The tithe means 10%. You say, I can't afford to. No, you can't afford not to. You can't afford not to. You pay your tithe. That's what I told God. I said, God, I can't afford to do that. And He said, you can't afford not to. Because you learn to live on what I gave you. And within a year, he had me living on $10,000 a month, a year, and giving the rest of it away. I did. And gave it to whoever he told me to. I used to send a check down here, and every month, Irma would get it, and she'd send me a gift back, send me a book. And I had 4 or 5 sets of Win Worley's books, and when I moved down here, I had this big box like this I could all carry. I maybe had 2 boxes. I said, Patty, I got all these books I ain't got no use for that Irma sent me. And Patty acted like she had a treasure trove. She said, man, most of these are out of print. We get people asked about these all the time. So she gave me a receipt for $2,000 worth of books. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And you walk with God. Evaluate your day at the end of the day. Look at your day. If you hadn't walked in love, if you walked in fear or pride, you hurt somebody, somebody's hurt you, you're mad, you need to settle those things before you go to bed every day in the name of Jesus. Let's all stand up. Does anybody have any questions?
I've covered some rather complex things, and I have skimmed over the top of something I could spend 10 hours talking about to try to tell you that you've got to watch your thoughts. I memorized 10 old hymns that I used to sing when I was a child. I went back and rememorized them. They mean a lot more to me now than they did then. But I sing those when I'm traveling. I sing those when these bad thoughts come up. I just sing to the glory of God. I quote Scripture. I quote the 91st Psalm. 103rd Psalm is my favorite. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not His benefits. Heals all of your iniquities and heals all of your diseases. Fills your mouth with good things so that your youth is restored. Eagle. Thank you, Lord. It has another 15, 20 verses. But you quote those things. Just quote them to the devil. He don't like to hear them. He sure don't like to hear them. I say, Dear Lord, I believe Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the Son of God. He was manifested in the flesh. He was raised from the dead for my justification. Died on the cross for my sin. Raised for my justification. Ascended into heaven. Sits on the right hand of God the Father. Ever to make intercession for me. God is my Father. Jesus is my big brother. I am a member of the family of God. I thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I come to you now. Help me, Lord. Control my thought life. Lord, touch me. Is there anything buried down in my brain? Any bad, toxic reactions? Lord, bring them up so that I might pinter them and you can heal them in Jesus' name. Now, we'll just wait a minute. Now, you deal with it. Say, Lord, I forgive. I want you to bless this person. I don't want to see them pay for what they did to me. I speak a blessing on them and their family. Of mercy and grace. In the name of Jesus, I give this bad thought to you. This bad emotion. I give it to you, Lord. Heal my land, Lord God. Heal me now, Lord. Cast the demon out of me, Lord God. I bind it. I command it to go. I bind all you foul spirits now in the name of Jesus, and I command you to leave. Let them go. For it is written in Joel 2:32, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. I bind you and command you to leave these people now. Everybody take a deep breath and cough. Come on out. Let them go. Let them go. Let them go. Let them go. And I speak healing to their brain. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Out in the name of Jesus. And I speak healing and restoration. Now the grace of God that passeth all understanding, Lord God. The love of God. Will guard, garrison, protect their heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Whatever things are good, whatever things are noble, whatever things are of good report, of virtuous, trustworthy, think on these things. And the peace of God will be with you. Bless them, Lord. Let your spirit go with them. I put the angels before the car, and let your glory be their rear guard. Protect them on their way home, Lord. There'll be no accidents, Lord. There'll be no injuries. There'll be no breakdowns. There'll be no car trouble. There'll be a glorious trip. You touch them, Lord, in the name of Jesus, and get them safely home. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless the food, Lord. Bless the food. Make it nourishment to our bodies, Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.